Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all of this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
Take the story of the Gospel today and put yourself into it. Imagine yourself in the story. First, as one of the people in the town. Jesus comes to the synagogue, the same synagogue where he would have been raised as a child. And he says to them, "Today this passage is fulfilled in your hearing." He is familiar, and yet you are astonished. You're recognizing a new kind of wisdom and authority that you were not expecting. We know who he is. Isn't he just that carpenter? We know his family. We know where he lives. Where did all these wonders come from? The reading from the Gospel of Mark today says that we take offense with him. There's a little more description of this scene in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus basically says, don't expect anything. Elijah the prophet didn't work any wonders with his own people, just Naaman the Syrian and the widow of Zarephath in Tyre. Elijah only did things for foreigners and in foreign places. So I ask myself, well, do I know better? Is that what makes me reject this new development in who Jesus is? Or do I think I'm special? Am I entitled to the mighty signs and wonders that Jesus has done in other places? Am I angry about this? Mad enough, as it says in the Gospel of Luke, that I could rise up with others in the town and intend to throw Jesus off the cliff? That's pretty angry. Now imagine yourself as Jesus in the story. Home. Going home is always complicated, isn't it? I wonder if it was as complicated for Jesus, although he had the perfect mother, right? So maybe not. But always moments seem to freeze in your mind. Also, the way people treat you, the way you interact with other people, you're still kind of living out of a past moment, but everybody's moved on. I'll never forget when my mom was first gravely ill. And one of the things that I did was I went and I spent a week with her, and we got all the unhealthy food out of the cabinets in the kitchen. And I took her to the store, and we had conversations about trying to buy healthy food. And, you know, the stuff she didn't like much, but I showed her how to bake bread without salt and all kinds of things. And I remember that I was walking through the grocery store in the town where I went to high school. It was Lewisburg, Kansas. And I was looking around, just wondering if I might see somebody from my high school class. And I found that I was only looking at the young people. Like my high school friends would have frozen in time and not gotten old like me. It was just like years of life have not passed since you were last there. Well, Jesus hadn't been gone that long. He just spent 40 days in the desert being tempted by the devil. Now, let's start imagining again. You've been tempted by the devil in the desert for 40 days. You come home, you make the first proclamation. Basically, Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah, the one who's going to be crucified. The words of the prophet Isaiah are now fulfilled in me, in your hearing these words. And you find that you are not honored in your native place, not with your own kin and not in your own house. They have a familiarity about you maybe they don't deserve to feel. You are unable to perform any mighty deeds except for a few healings. Why? Because they don't believe. Imagine if you are suddenly unable to accomplish what the Father sent you to do. Imagine your frustration, their rejection. It is the situation throughout all time in the relationship of God with his people, people who say, just show us what we want to see. Of all people, the Son of God would least likely be dishonored or unable to do anything. Give us what we want. We can be satisfied with shallow, transactional faith because we are entitled to it. After healing someone or freeing them from possession, Jesus always says, it is your faith that heals or has saved you, your faith. So how could this have looked differently? Perhaps if we had listened better. Perhaps if we had been more open to seeing something new in a faith that has become too familiar. If we expected to be surprised more and put less emphasis on our own satisfaction. We don't know what we don't know, but it doesn't mean that in humility we can't seek to know more. It is the same way that we approach one another. The openness to dialogue without prejudging the other is the only way to prevent all the divisions we have in our church, in our churches, in our world, and even in our families. For centuries, the church never talked about dialogue, not until the Second Vatican Council. It had always been a monologue. The church was talking to us, and we kind of got accustomed to that, just being told what to do, and we even adopted that image of God in our lives. Just do what we're told to do. Jesus, in his words, has come to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to declare a year of favor. Those were his words in the synagogue. This text from the prophet Isaiah talks about all the ways in which we are blind, limited, alienated, unable to fully be the people that God has made us to be in ways physical and spiritual. Let him help us to be free from ourselves and free to encounter each other and God in ways that are entirely new.